is completely normal. I do not accept what you say. I think Alexis Sanchez is a completely normal guy, but when you put him next to guys like CEO, Nacho Monreal, Petr Cech, he looks very passionate. He almost looks crazy. But if you say you saw him having a meltdown, I can honestly say to you that I did not see it. If you analyze it, Alexis is 4 foot tall, and I am 6 foot four, so he's not in my line of vision. Also not in my line of vision is winning the Premier League.
Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and joining me today, Roche, who's a bit sniffly.
Quite, yes.
Yeah? We're under the weather?
Under the car.
Perfect. That's exactly where we need you. Mohamed, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Neither of us are under the kosh, is that?
No, just Roche.
Okay.
Yeah. Who celebrated his birthday?
Yeah.
This week.
Yeah, that's a bit of aftermath for a good birthday weekend, you can say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your birthday's on the, 28th of February, technically?
Yeah, my champagne birthday.
No one knows what that means, man.
I hate that.
When I turned 28th on the 28th of February.
Very nice. But you got a Manchester United cake.
I did. That was actually fantastic. And I think we actually tweeted that on the Kosh account.
We did, yeah. Your significant other knocked that out of the park.
To be fair, I mean, when she said it was going to be a United cake, I didn't expect it to be that nice. It was kind of iron steamed on. It looked so perfect on the circle.
It looked like official club merchandise.
Yeah, it was sent straight from Old Trafford.
Yeah, and then we proceeded to cut it into six pieces.
I could not cut the cake. Until I started crying inside.
Mm. Yeah, you were quite emotional.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Well, I mean, your Manchester United weekend overall was one worthy of tears, but we'll get to that. Why don't we start with the quiz?
This week's Victor Vasquez is brought, thank you. We do this every week. Yeah. It's brought to you by Open Sports, which is an app you can find on the Play Store, Android, iOS, all that good stuff. It allows you to find, pick up sports in your city.
Yeah.
You know, see if people are playing, where they're playing, and you can join them. So that's great. Get it.
Yeah, do it.
All right. You two ready?
No, but we'll give it a go anyway.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it, yeah. Alex, let's remind people you're buzzing. Yep. And Roche. Perfect. Here we go. Question number one. Name as many players as you can that have played for both Liverpool and Arsenal.
Oh, mate.
Liverpool and Arsenal?
Yeah.
Liverpool and Arsenal?
Yeah.
What a terrible question.
I mean, name one.
Roche, are you one of them?
Definitely not.
Okay, well, I'll give you a few options, kind of, you know, there's seven of them.
Yeah, give me a hint.
So, Maneger, the keeper, Pennant.
Ah, Jermaine Pennant.
Yeah. Some guy called Jimmy Carter.
That was a US president.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, the other four, I mean...
Yeah, just tell us.
Okay. So, Kola Touré, obviously.
Oh.
Nicolas Anelka, obviously.
Oh. He's played for everyone. Should
and
I guess?
Ben Ayoun.
Ooh. Yeah. Ben Ayoun. Yeah. Yo, see Ben Ayoun. Ben Ayoun, wake up now.
great loan signing for Arsenal. All right. Question number two. Hopefully, you guys do a bit better. Which four players from Ghana have won Champions League medals? Oh, Alex.
Sammy Kufuor.
Yes.
Get in. He played for Portsmouth and then he played for AC Milan.
Yes.
What's his name?
Michel Montari.
Yes, that's him. All right, two more.
Desailly.
No. Nope.
Oh, he's French, but he's also Ghanaian.
Yeah, but no, doesn't count. Two more. One, Roche.
Asamoah Gyan.
No. He's never won the Champions League. He gets his name Ghanaian player.
He played for Sunderland.
All right. One of them is Abidi Pele, which is back in 93.
Wouldn't have got it.
One of them is... Okay, I'll give you the team. You guys are ready? Just shout it out. You don't need to buzz. Chelsea. In 2012.
Solomon Kalou.
No.
He's
from Ivory.
Name Ghanaians. Midfielder.
Essien?
Yes. All right. So just to recap for everybody, that's Abidi Pele, Samuel Kufuor, Solly Montari, and Essien. All right. Question number three. You guys did better there. Hopefully it gets better and better.
Yeah.
Kane. Oh, this one's hard. Kane has scored four of Spurs' last five hat-tricks. Who scored the other one? I mean, at this point, you should just go through Spurs players.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I don't think Dele has a hat-trick, does he?
Nope. It was in the Europa League. In 2015.
Richey. Lamela.
Yes!
Ooh, good
well
shout.
Done!
Good I remember shout. He scored that fantastic goal.
The Rabona.
The Rabona, yeah.
See, I don't think of him as much as a goal scorer, but, you know.
Yeah, he does once in a while. He's been out for a while, too.
Lamela, Lamela, or, say that you, Lamela.
Wow. Last question. Here we go.
Yeah.
Name as many of... Well, actually, name any of the top five Africans with the most goals in the Premier League.
Huh.
Say that question again.
Top five Africans... With goals in the play.
Drogba.
Okay, more.
Adebayor?
Yes.
Kanu.
Yes, he's fifth.
Does Guyan get in there?
No, so it's Drogba. You guys have so far said first is Drogba, second is Adebayor, and fifth is Kanu. Two middle guys. One
Yeboah.
Is a mid- No, Ooh. One is a midfielder. Still plays.
Not Mikel.
Yaya Toure.
Yaya Toure is correct, he's Good fourth. Shot. And fifth is not in the Premier League anymore.
Is he still playing?
Yeah.
Where does he play? What country? Just give
know.
Me a country.
I don't even know if he's playing.
Ramirez.
Yakubo.
Oh,
he's playing in the Champions League.
Oh, sorry. Ramirez is Brazilian.
I think he is. Anyway, so...
Wow.
Just to recap. Yeah. I said, wow. Anyways. Just to recap for everybody. That's Drogba with 104. Yeah. Adebayor with 97. Yakubo 95. Toure 57. And Kanu 54.
There you go.
Good one stuff. More question.
No, sorry, no. I can't make him up. That's all I have prepared.
I'll give you one more question. How did you think Ramirez was African?
So let's get right into the Premier League, which is where we always start.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it provides enough entertainment to do so.
West Ham, mate.
Yeah,
West
let's start Ham. At the London Derby. West Ham versus Chelsea ended 2-1 to Chelsea, which is, you know, doesn't really show how comfortable Chelsea were for a lot of the game. It started where West Ham looked okay. First, let's say 15, 20 minutes.
I thought they actually looked really good for West Ham against Chelsea.
They had a game plan, which is so obvious. And, you know, Snodgrass hugged the touchline on one side, Feghouli hugged the touchline on the other, and he just crossed it into Carroll, who, I think in the first 5 minutes, assaulted Luiz and then broke his nose off Moses' head. So he was doing his job.
The only thing he didn't do was, like, go for a pint, basically. Yeah. Other than that, it was a normal night for Andy Carroll.
Yeah,
but, no, I mean, on the one hand, yes, it was very obvious. On the other hand... That's probably what you should do against Chelsea.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
We've seen before, like, when Spurs beat them, it was because Dele Alli got a couple of headers.
Mm.
People don't really score many goals in open play against Chelsea, so, I mean, fair enough.
I mean...
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everyone expected Chelsea to win this game. I do think that West Ham put up a good fight, though. I really like... I mean, if you look at the goals, if you analyze the goals, a lot of them were giveaways and counterattacks.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal was, well, Kante does what Kante does, which is he... He cuts out the play from Mark Noble's horrendous pass. I'm trying to get it out to Feghouli when his whole team was in the box from a corner kick. He literally, the whole of West Ham were in the Chelsea penalty box. Just hoof it in, man.
Sorry, can I just clarify? This is Mark Noble that should have been in the England team,
Oh,
right?
England captain, right. Okay. Yeah. So instead of hoofing it in, which is the very obvious thing to do, he tries to play an intricate pass. Kante does what he does, gets the ball, gives it off to Hazard, who dribbles really well down the field, gives it to Pedro, Pedro back to him, and then, you know, does a really good first touch to take it past the keeper, Randolph, which is a great name.
Well, I also want to talk about how good Pedro's first time pass was.
It was.
In speed, perfectly weighted.
For sure, but I think it was Kouyaté who's playing right back now for West Ham, filling in. He kind of stopped running at... He stopped sprinting after Hazard. Once Hazard played it to Pedro,
yeah.
He kind of slowed down half a step. I don't get why.
No, I think, well, you know, when Eden Hazard is breaking through towards your goal, I think what you need to do is just let him do that.
Yeah.
Because that's probably...
He's a horrible finisher.
Just take your chances. But no, it was a wonderful ball from Pedro, and he had a very good game. But Chelsea played... I mean, we've seen Chelsea play on the counter-attack very effectively all season. But this was... It was just quintessential. The speed at which they broke... was unbelievable. And they actually played more like an American football team than I've ever seen a team play football, soccer.
Yeah.
It was, you got the wide receivers in Hazard and Pedro, you got the quarterback in Fabregas, and the running back in Kante, who was able to take the ball and
through the lines.
Through the lines.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was lethal. It was precision.
It was lethal. I think that it was a special goal, and that's going to make it to a goal of the month competition.
Oh, for sure. I mean, just as a team goal, for sure. I mean, Alex, to your point about the whole NFL kind of team thing, during this game, I just saw so much of Alonso, Kante, Moses, like those three just running up and down the field together, and it creates this crazy kind of wave. I mean, at the end of the game, there was a counterattack where the two furthest players for Chelsea were Alonso and Moses, trying to score a goal. It's it shows what Conte has been implementing since, you know, since the Arsenal defeat. Let's say back in October
September
or whatever.
And
his record since then, you know, Chelsea have scored 47, conceded 11. And there's a reason for that. It's not luck.
No, I mean, it's generally kind of playing 5-4-1 out of possession. I mean, they were totally happy to cede possession to West Ham, a much worse team.
Yes.
Chelsea didn't care. They sat in their own half. They soaked up the pressure, which isn't that easy to do against West Ham when you've got, you know, a bombardment of, you know, Andy Carroll. And they just broke on them. And I think West Ham probably could have done better given the amount of possession they had. But, you know,
Sloppy giveaways. But Chelsea also... It's easy to say that they're fresh because they don't have a fixture list congestion.
True. They have nothing else, really.
That's it. This is all they play for. Yeah.
Also, to be fair to David Luiz and Cahill, they did so well against against Andy Carroll. I mean, David Luiz, especially this game, was phenomenal. His percentage, whatever the stats are, of like kind of interceptions and headers and clearances were world-class. I mean, someone was tweeting recently about how he shaves his head and looks like a regular player, and kind of the jokes go away, and he just becomes a really good centre-back.
No, it's true. I mean, we talk about image, and you see it with David Luiz, you see it with Mesut Ozil. People that look weird just get more coverage. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah.
No, agreed. So that leaves Chelsea at the top of the table. Leaves them at the top of the table at 66 points, which is 10 points away from Tottenham in second. But... you know, I just have to say a quick stat here. Conte right now has 143 points in the league, including last season. He's the player,
points?
Like,
oh,
points, like points,
sure.
3 points, you know. So
in how many seasons?
In from
two,
last season to
seasons.
This season. He has the most that anyone has ever amassed, like, over two seasons. Because obviously he's kind of gone back-to-back with champions. So he's clearly a very big part of this.
So what he should probably do, because basically what's happened is last season, who won the league last season?
It's Leicester.
Right, because they didn't have Champions League. This season, Chelsea winning it. So Conte needs to go to whoever the next team is that isn't going to be in Europe, which is going to be West Brom. And, and they are very clearly going to win the league next season.
Or he could go to one of Liverpool or Arsenal, because chances are one of them will drop out.
No, but they'll be in the Europa.
Oh, right.
You need nothing.
Yeah,
you need nothing.
Everton.
Sure.
They'll be in the Europa too, won't they?
Hopefully.
They're in
seventh
right now.
What if they win the Fair Play League?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's talk about Liverpool-Arsenal then. This was kind of one of the bigger games this weekend. Liverpool came from the defeat to Leicester. So
where they were completely mobbed.
They were.
They were mobbed. It was like going into a London town on a Saturday night and watching a brawl outside a pub.
Yeah, no, for sure.
I mean, for sure.
Leicester players just ran their hearts out in the first game where Ranieri wasn't there, beat Liverpool, I think it was 3-1.
Yeah.
Now Liverpool came back and beat Arsenal 3-1. Not sure why anyone was surprised. I was talking to a few Liverpool fans after the Leicester game going, oh my God, we're in such, you know, this was horrible, the defeat to Leicester. I'm like, listen, you need to pick me up, you play Arsenal, they'll give it to you.
It was kind of funny. I mean, the narrative around Liverpool after the Leicester loss was, oh, Klopp's record isn't actually better than Brendan Rodgers, which is really funny.
Yeah.
I'm not
going
to lie. It is hilarious. But you could still tell that Arsenal have been horrendous. Liverpool were really good in this game. Scored good goals. Firmino, Mane, Wijnaldum at the end was a fantastic goal.
Wijnaldum's been scoring a lot recently.
Yes, he has. And Liverpool, the most impressive thing about Liverpool is they slip up in games against poor teams, but they are unbeaten against the top six.
They're the best team in the top six kind of league. And Arsenal are the worst, so this result is not a surprise. Before we get into the game, though, Sanchez didn't start. Rocher, how do you feel about that?
I'm not surprised. You know, I think Wenger's got a bit of an ego problem right now. And with whatever was said in midweek, we're not surprised to see Sanchez benched.
Yeah, so I mean, we didn't know that, though, to be fair, going into the game.
I was pretty surprised.
Yeah, so we were trying to think, you know, is it a niggle? Is it this? Is it that? And then I think me and Alex were talking, and I told you, it looks political. And it was. Apparently, Sanchez has a few issues with some of his teammates. He's walked out of training, something like that. And, you know, it comes down to now the fan base is kind of split between, well, I don't mind, it shows passion and he wants to win compared to the lethargic rest of the players and Ramsey and whoever, you know, Gibbs and Theo and people who are just there because, you know, they're lucky to be anywhere, to be fair.
Names.
Sure, exactly.
Squad players.
You know, the joke is always that Gibbs and Theo are about to get a testimonial, which is an absolute disgrace.
Well, they will at some point.
Yeah. Gibbs. Anyways, yeah, Gibbs as well. So, Sanchez not starting was crazy. Obviously, he gave Liverpool a big... I mean, if you don't see the best player on the opposition, and Slash could be easily argued the best player in the league, not playing against you and on the bench, that must give you something.
Okay, I mean, Liverpool-Arsenal was the opening game of the season for both teams.
Yep.
Liverpool won that game 4-3 at the Emirates, outplayed Arsenal, took them by surprise. And over here, again, they took Arsenal by surprise. Scoring an early goal, Arsenal folded once again like a cheap house of cards.
Yeah, we always do that. And Mane was, again, the hero in both games.
Yeah, and midweek, I had actually said, watch Arsenal concede an early goal and fold like a house of cards.
I mean,
verbatim? Yeah. Those words? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, when you play Liverpool, the thing that you do is that you sit deep so that they can't run in behind you.
Which is what the small teams do, and that's why they can't beat them.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Now, Arsenal, surprisingly, the surprise for me was that Arsenal actually did try to do that. You could see from the off,
yes.
Peter Cech has admitted as much, that there was actually a plan, which is surprising in itself, right? But there was a plan to sit deep and hit them on the break. Why you try and hit them on the break with Giroud, unclear, but whatever. That was the plan. The thing was, the goal that they conceded, the opening goal, was not even from a counter-attack. It was from a bloody goal kick.
Yeah. Koscielny missed the header. It came down to Coutinho, who won a header. That's unacceptable in itself. Also, to be fair, Petr Cech, he can say whatever the tactics are. Arsene Wenger before the game said, I'm playing Welbeck and Giroud because they're tall.
Yeah.
Which means we're somehow going to get the ball to them. And, you know, we didn't create a single cross game. What's the point?
He said the idea was for the goalkeeper to kick it long to avoid the press. Right. Which makes sense. It kind of makes sense. It's just they didn't do it.
Anyways, okay, so my biggest concern here is that this game really shows system versus individuals.
Yeah.
I don't think, if anyone tells me that Liverpool have a better 11 on the field than Arsenal, I completely disagree.
Is anyone actually making that argument?
I'm just saying, it's a system. It's an absolute, you know, coach's strategy on how you want to play. You look at the, you know, people talk about how the midfield is the engine, it's the most important part to control a game. Let's look through it. You've got Van Halden, Chan, and Lallana. You've got Xhaka, Coquelin, and...
It will be in this case.
Van Halden and Chan are not top players, but they did their role in this game. They did it right. They sat there, they cut the play, and they just gave it to the better players, which is all you ask from your midfield.
And Lallana was honestly fantastic.
He had an unbelievable game. He was.
But if you want to talk about the philosophy going into this game, manager pep talk wise, I think Liverpool would have looked at the fixture list and said, hey, we got Arsenal this week. This is a good chance for us to get 3 points and get some momentum and push on from here.
Absolutely. Exactly. And that's exactly what they did. Mane was fantastic. Lallana was great. End of the day, I mean, at 2-1, Sanchez came on at the halftime at 2-0, gave a really good assist to Welbeck, who finished really nicely, to be fair.
Yeah.
Always
a question as to how deliberate it is, but, you know, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And at 2-1, it looked like Arsenal might slowly come back into the game, but then, you know, on the counter with everyone committed forward, it was inevitable.
No, of course, that was inevitable, the Wijnaldum goal. Although, before that, Mignolet did make an absolutely heroic save from Giroud.
Yes.
Just, I mean, we slag him off regularly, and fair enough, but...
Give him due. One thing before we move on from this game is Ozil. He was sick, he never played.
Allegedly,
which is quite funny, because the first game of the season was the same, no Alexis and no Ozil, and that was the excuse back then. Now, the whole... I feel these games kind of show a bit that it's Arsenal's problem as a team, and Ozil is an easy target, because he's, you know, the world-class player, and the expensive guy, and this and that, and it's easy to bag on him. He's not always the problem. Here, he didn't play. I didn't see any more passion and desire. It's like, it's the same thing. It will be played. He barely got the ball because the game passed him through because our midfield is quite bad. I don't think it's a personnel issue.
I agree it's not a personnel issue, and I take your point. I think it will be... I thought it will be was a lot more involved than Ozil has been of late. But yeah, ultimately...
Right. It is Wenger.
Yeah.
It is Wenger. I mean, right now, I mean, there's a... Before the Bayern game in midweek, there's a... protest, apparently a big protest is going to happen.
Can we Skype in?
Yeah, I would love to Skype in anything, you know, send Russians.
So from my original prediction of Bayern winning that Champions League tie by a minimum of 4 goals.
Yeah, you nailed that.
You did nail that, to be fair.
It was 1-1 at halftime and I was being ridiculed.
Yes, but you know Arsenal, that house of card thing will happen. Let's move on to Spurs versus Everton. This was a big game. I think... Spurs have kind of jumped into that better bracket and left Everton behind in recent years.
I was going to say, you love this game because the teams historically have been so similar.
The way I think of things in general in life is I group them. And I've always grouped Tottenham and Everton. They've always around the same area, 6th, 7th.
How are Roche and I grouped?
You guys are not grouped at all. Not even close.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take that as
a good
thing.
Good? I don't know. I think that's good.
It's good for one of you. You've got to figure out who.
I agree with how you think that Tottenham and Everton, you know, historically, or like in the last 10 years, very similar teams. They've had some good games over the years. I remember one 3-3 draw.
Yeah,
you know, Robbie Keane in the last minute and stuff.
Yeah. And even this game, it was 2-1. And then all of a sudden it was 3-2, like within 2 minutes right at the end before the final whistle.
I have to say, though, Lukaku's goal to make it 2-1, is why people think he's such a good player. He had no right to make that happen. First of all, he was up against two defenders. Yes, luckily Vertonghen fell, which, you know, I'll never complain about. Then he took it onto his weaker foot.
Yeah.
That is confidence. And then he finished past a very good keeper.
Yeah. No,
into the side net.
That was a very good finish.
It was an excellent finish, and especially on his right. I thought he got a bit lucky that Vertonghen fell over.
Yeah,
I
mean, sure.
You know, but nonetheless.
It was from contact, though. His super strength.
Yeah,
the gravity field.
He just bounced off. Yeah. But what I thought about, I thought Lukaku was underserved by Everton. I thought Koeman went very conservative in this game. He took out Ademola Lookman and he put in Gareth Barry. And you get that, you understand that. You love a Gareth Barry. But when you've got Barry, Idrissa Gueye and Morgan Schneiderlin, it's a bit much.
Like,
not very much creativity in there.
Where was Barkley playing?
He was playing just behind Lukaku.
Okay.
And it was just... And then you had... what's the young kid?
Thompson, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Davies.
The Game of Thrones character. he was playing as well, and he was ineffective. I just thought Koeman bottled it a little bit. Mm. There was an inferiority complex there.
Sure.
Which I get, because Tottenham at home are basically impossible to beat.
Well,
but
as demonstrated by, you're looking at some of the most hard tackling midfielders, and Idrissa Gueye has averaged, I think, the highest number of tackles in the last two seasons.
Definitely after Kante. I mean, I'm just going to put that out there, even though I don't understand.
Imagine having a midfield three of Kante,
Idrissa Gueye,
and
Nainggolan.
Yeah,
man.
He's a little beast.
Anyways,
Makalele, I was going to say.
Okay, sure. Speaking though of Tottenham's scariness at home, Kane has been phenomenal since we slagged them off. So we do some good stuff.
Don't say we.
Okay, since I slagged them off.
I slagged them off too, yeah. Alex was the only one who didn't slag them off.
Thank you. But he's a closet Spurs fan.
Yeah.
But we all know that it's a fact that Harry Kane listened to our podcast.
Yeah.
And ever since then, he just decided, you guys, I'm going to score all these goals.
I mean, that's 14 and 12. So.
You know, but taking into account the last two seasons or no? What I did love about this was that at one point during the game, after Kane had put Spurs 2 up, the Spurs fans started singing "One Season Wonder," which I thought was brilliant.
Well, he's into his third One Season Wonder, so you know he's doing well.
Like Oasis.
He shows up when March comes.
He's shown up all season.
To be fair,
I don't know. He was a bit dry for a while there.
He's top scorer.
He is after the last 3 weeks.
Well, sure, but you can think about it this way. He was injured at the start of the season. By the time he started scoring goals, Lukaku already had seven. Gago had five. Costa had seven or something. And now he's overtaken them. So.
Yeah, no. He is a fantastic player. We'll give him that. I just asked him to step up a little bit more.
Okay.
That's all.
And he has.
To be fair, also, Robles in goal, I mean, he could have saved a few.
Yeah.
That first one, I mean...
I'm not quite sure how he's still employed, to be totally honest.
There's a lot of people like that.
There is worse.
When your choice is him and Stecklenburg, you've really screwed it.
Before we move on from this game, the celebration between Dele Alli and Harry Kane. Everybody now has a little dab and a handshake and this and that. And it's okay, but it's a bit long. They were doing it for a good minute.
I thought it was very long, but the synchronicity was very impressive.
They weren't even looking at each other at one point.
It was a no-look celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, it was pretty cool. If I had all week to practice my celebration...
That's true. Training's only 2 hours.
Yeah.
To be fair, you also need to score a goal, but
You know what? The next time we play in Danceview League, I'm going to practice a
celebration. Me and you will have a little flippy-flappy thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Because you know it's never happening.
The one thing I'll give them credit for is that they didn't do it on a second goal.
No.
So that was good. They agreed. Yeah. First goal, and done. I like that.
Yeah, and first goal was an absolute belter. But the last thing I want to say is Pochettino, 77 wins in 150 games for Spurs.
Barcelona calling, mate.
That's a good stat.
He's not going. This is his baby. This is like Moyes and Everton. You don't leave when you're doing this at the club.
Don't compare him to Moyes.
And Everton.
No,
Everton.
I understand.
Sure, sure.
He's not going to leave this club.
He's sitting in second right now. Granted, 10 points behind Chelsea.
Sure.
Yeah. But... a point ahead of City, who do have a game in hand, though. But, you know, it's a great position. They will finish above Arsenal this season.
We've said it before.
Sure.
And so Spurs, but it does look like it's the season.
But, aren't they out of everything? Except...
They're in the FA Cup.
Okay. But out of Europa, they're out of the...
And if you look at their run-in, it is... not bad.
Also, they do play Arsenal, so it is in their hands.
If they lose 5-1 to Sunderland on the final day,
Jermaine Defoe hat trick.
So, disappointing result this week for United. I mean, people looked at this game, Bournemouth coming to Old Trafford, theater of dreams, and they dreamt and they got their point.
You know, I've watched this game about 10 times this season. It's yeah. the same game every time.
Yeah.
The other goalie, the opposition goalie, this time it was Boruk.
Yeah.
Stood on his head again. There must be something about dreams and opposition goalies at Old Trafford this season.
Yeah.
But United, there's a whole Twitter video based on the chances they missed in this game.
I mean, to be fair, I think all keepers go to Old Trafford thinking De Gea is definitely going to Madrid. Let's put on a show here.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now we don't know who to sign.
there's so many. Yeah.
There's so many contestants.
So tell us, Rishik, first of all, I mean, you expected the win for sure coming into this game.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we just... Okay, so United had just won the League Cup last week.
Congratulations, by the way.
Goals are coming in for Zlatan. Goals seem to be coming. There seems to be momentum. And you're playing Bournemouth.
And then he misses a goal from 2 yards out at the beginning of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
but this is also Bournemouth, who have conceded about 400 goals in the last, like, 12 games.
True. True. I mean, yeah. This was a weird result, to be fair. This was, I mean...
Well, especially with Bournemouth got Soman sent off on, like, 40-something minutes and spent the rest of the game just, like,
yeah.
battling it out.
Yeah, I have to say, I was disappointed because the game started one-way traffic completely. Chances everywhere for United. They just keep shooting at the goalie. It's like he's wearing a magnetic shirt and the ball's got, like a metal something in it. And
I'm glad you got the science right there.
Yeah. So when this first goal goes in, Marcus Rojo scores, and at that point you're thinking
you're not even happy. You're like, ah, Marcus yeah. Rojo.
Well, but here's my
Valencia
question.
Assist.
If Marcus Rojo scores, like, do you immediately think it's not our day?
Yes, actually, definitely. that's my point. When Marcus Rojo put that first goal in, it just looked like there would be at least three or four more.
Like a procession.
Yeah, the sun was shining. You know, oblong pools of light
wow.
flooded the ground at Old Trafford.
Nice with that carpet finish.
The carpet, yeah.
Yeah.
But and then the quality dipped.
Well, here's the thing. I think the game got really rough. There were so many tackles. And, you know, this game is all about the referee and how he dealt with different tackles. But I feel that Bournemouth kind of... United came down to Bournemouth's level. They brought them down as opposed to, like, United playing their game. It seems like they came down to Bournemouth's level and the game just became rough. It became untidy. Zlatan and Mings had a thing. They both got... Well, Mings got a red. Zlatan got a yellow. We'll talk about their bans.
Yeah.
And I just feel like Bournemouth did well to kind of make it an untidy game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think there was two things that happened. And the first thing that happened was, well, I think it didn't happen, but United were fatigued and sluggish. And so after that first goal, they took their foot off the gas.
Mm.
That was one. And two, Eddie Howe made a tactical switch. And then it actually helped them that Sermon was sent out because that made their shape more rigid.
Compact.
And they all started playing a little more together after that.
Interesting. So tell us, how will you guys fare with Zlatan up for 3 games now?
I think we're just going to draw our way to...
to what?
To the top four, you know?
Okay. I mean, you've got Arsenal a point ahead, which is, you know, compared to the doom and gloom of United season and how... I mean, it's doom and gloom now for Arsenal, but not at the
yeah.
start at least. You know, you guys are a point apart. Like, it's doable.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, let's be real.
But there is a legitimate question, though, is that this United team has relied very heavily on Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Who, just for a start, like, who do you think will play up front?
Well, you have limited choice. You have Rashford.
Yeah.
You have Rashford, Martial. You might have...
He'll never play Martial central.
Not central, but Martial will start on the left. Rashford up top. If not Rashford, Rooney.
On the bench?
Rooney.
He's played this game. He's just a
yeah,
jinx.
And he was rightly subbed, obviously.
How long did it take for him to get off the field?
Yeah, they had 5 minutes of stoppage time.
Just for that? Man, Rooney's only 31. Like, he's not even super old. Zlatan is a whole contract older than him.
Zlatan looks 10 years younger than Rooney.
It's incredible. It's incredible. Anyways, you good there? We can move on? Or you want to vent a bit more?
I think we covered it.
Okay.
Penalty save by Boruk. What else did we miss?
True. Yeah, I totally forgot. How did Bournemouth score again?
It was a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, true. Jones.
Yeah. Phil Jones actually looked like a mistake waiting to happen.
All right.
His face looks like a terrible mistake.
Already happening.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the noisy neighbours.
Yeah, yeah. We'll console you by telling you that Manchester City won.
And
2-0
against
Sunderland.
Recently.
Yeah.
Aguero's back in top form, son.
Yeah, I think Aguero stabbed Gabriel Paulista in the leg.
Since then.
Mm. No, he's been excellent since, what's his name, got injured.
Paulista.
Jesus.
Paulista, right?
But that's what Jesus does.
What? Saves.
Yeah.
He saves Aguero. Yeah. No, true. But Sané as well. Sané is the man of the moment. I mean, well, I say that because he's getting goals, but Sterling is getting a rack full of assists.
Yeah, but look.
The three of them as a triangle are absolutely killing it.
I completely agree. But then you go and look, get a compilation of like Sterling's assists, and they all like come off a dude. They like kind of go off someone's foot, off some guy's head. Like, it just annoys me a bit that he's getting so lucky. Like this assist to Aguero.
Yeah, no, I get it.
It was such a bad pass. It was horrendous.
I get it.
Anyways, I'm sorry. It's Sterling's.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's something.
You're just
about
part of the racist mainstream media, mate.
Yeah, that's what I am.
I don't know. There's something about Pep Ball that I just don't like.
Pep Ball?
Pep Ball.
What about it?
I just think it's a bit, you know, rigid.
I mean, it was encapsulated.
Rigid?
It was this game encapsulated it when Bravo played the ball out. Very, very risky.
Oh, the dink.
Yeah, and then Yaya had to kind of slide to get it going. And then they scored from that exact attack. So it's kind of a high-risk, high-reward kind of tactic, but...
Yeah, but if you're taking risks against Sunderland, they'll probably pay off.
Yeah.
There was a Moyes quote this week, as usual.
Of course.
I don't think you can fault the players for any of that. Sorry. I don't think you can fault the players for any of that. We lacked quality at times, though. They did all they could to try to get something out of the game. So he's basically saying, you can't blame the players because they're shit.
Yeah. But he says that every week. He goes, we're shit. Our defence is shit. Our team is shit. My board doesn't give me money. They're shit.
He said it after the second game of the season.
Yes.
He said, this is going to be a relegation battle because we're shit.
Can you remember? Oh, that was hilarious. Two games in.
We talked about that in the pod,
Anyways, so why did I say... Oh, I had a note here. I forgot what it meant. City play midweek against Stoke. And they, you know, if they win that game...
If.
Sure.
It's Stoke.
Stoke is not playing bad, to be fair. We'll get to them. But, you know, they've got my boy, Soppy, Egyptian guy.
They'll probably beat Stoke 5-0.
Sure.
Because,
that will take them into second. Which is rightfully kind of where they deserve to be. I mean, if you look at it, they're at 55. They'll be at 58. So they'll be, whatever, 8 points away from Chelsea. The league isn't completely over yet, but...
No, I think they are likely to finish second.
Yeah, and also they're doing okay in the Champions League. So, I mean, if Pep can get past Monaco next game, get into, the quarters?
Quarters.
You never know, get a good draw going to the semis. That would not be a horrible finish in
Europe. Bobbly Sterling assists.
Yeah.
I think they're also in the FA Cup.
Sure, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I have to say before we move on, Silva's passed to Sané for his goal.
Sure.
I mean, you could easily miss it, but it was majestic. It was perfect.
I would enter into this with you, but I know you're just thinking about it in comparison to Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yes.
So.
Yes, that's all I do.
Yeah.
Anyways, Roucher, you good? We can move on?
Sure.
Okay.
Roucher is shaking.
I could make a comment about just about anything right now.
Okay, well, tell us about Leicester Hull. Leicester went for the second game in a row with a win now. 6 points out of two. Six goals in two.
Yeah.
So they're definitely scoring. Now, Vardy's back on the ball.
Yeah.
You know.
All of these players now prove they exist again.
Yes.
Now that, you know, Leicester should just be, I don't know, the players should just be flogged.
You're mad that they kind of threw Ranieri under the bus.
Well, was it their fault? Like, who really knows what happened? But, like, there's something that karmically needs to happen to Leicester.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of is happening. I mean, if you take the fact that they won the league last season and now they're kind of in a relegation battle, that is karma.
They're no longer in that battle. Now they're averaging a point a game.
Sure.
27 points, 27 games.
All right. Well, you need, 38 to stay up?
So, 40, allegedly.
Oh, allegedly, yeah. Moyes will tell you they need 55.
Yeah. So really, West Brom are the only team, you know, West Brom in 8th are the only team with 40 points.
What?
Like,
everyone
below 8th does not have 40 points. So...
True.
Stoke is still in a relegation battle.
Yeah, Southampton might go down.
Yep.
Anyways, it's West Ham. So I mean, there's not really much to say. Mahrez again back with his goals that we were used to seeing last season. Fuchs making those runs. Like, it just seems everyone has a new breath of air. And this is why managers get changed. Yes, it was... Me and Bernie talked about this. You guys weren't here last podcast. We talked about how it's a shame.
Yeah.
But theoretically and from kind of economically, like dropping down to the league, it makes the most sense
and it just had to
be done.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Know?
It did have to be done.
If I'm gonna sit here and say no, Ranieri deserved to stay, then I cannot say Wenger out. It's the same thing.
Ranieri,
it's emotional versus mind. Like,
Ranieri to Arsenal.
No, not that bad. We don't need change that bad.
No.
Yeah.
Where could he go though?
He could go to let me look at this.
Who's gonna get sacked?
In
West
the morning.
Ham, West Ham Village?
Nah, he's fine.
Sunderland Moyes.
No, he would not.
They're going down, so...
I don't know, man. Crystal Palace or something. Anyways, he could go back to Leicester. They have a record of this.
That's true.
Watford... Oh, this game. This game. Watford 3, Southampton 4. What a game this was. In, like, the 76th minute, I think it was, like, 2-2. And then we got, like, 3 goals in the last 15.
Yeah, it was bonkers. Yeah. Gomez in goal for Watford, having his annual shambles. yeah. Just like he's largely a very good goalkeeper, but once or twice a year he just goes completely off the rails, and this was one of them. I don't know if you saw Redmond's. Was it Redmond's second goal?
The last one.
The last goal. Yeah. He's got it at kind of left middle of the box, left centre, and he hits it straight down the middle of the goal.
And he
Gomez
dives.
Just dives.
I mean,
inextricably.
Inexplicably. You bring up that goal, although the one before where he just spilt it to Gabbiadini.
Yeah, but like that happens to keepers sometimes. Right. Whereas just diving arbitrarily in a direction doesn't usually.
It got into his head.
Gomez is a historically shambolic goalkeeper. And you know how you mentioned Everton's goalkeepers earlier?
Mm.
You didn't compare them to Gomez. They actually got Rolls Royces for
goalkeepers. I actually think Gomez is better.
This is the thing. Gomez, over a season, is okay in that kind of mid-table. He has those moments where it's too bad. It's a reputation now. You look for it, you wait for it. Had it happened to someone else, we would have glossed over it.
He's the David Luiz of goalkeeper.
I think the best thing that Gomez does is take goal kicks.
Sure.
I don't think he can do much else.
Sure. I mean, I think it's a bit okay for Watford, but whatever. Yeah.
But he probably got a point at Old Trafford.
Probably.
Yeah, he probably did.
Troy Deeney had a really good game.
He's really good.
He's reliable. You'll know exactly what you're going to get, and you're going to get it week in, week out. Done.
And he's a better finisher than you would think.
Yes.
To look at him. He's better everything than you would think to look at
him. Oh, 100%. But, I mean, he looks like a hammerhead shark.
Yeah.
Troy Deeney, man. Dude.
Anyways, let's move on because we are rambling on the Premier League a bit. We've got a lot to talk about. West Brom lost to Crystal Palace 2-0. No one saw that coming. West Brom are having a great run. Crystal Palace were, you know, not playing very well, but Zaha and Townsend killed it.
You know, you said we were rambling on about who cares?
Yeah, true.
Swansea through to Burnley.
That was great. Llorente, son. Clement's done a really good job, but all he's done is put Llorente back up front and said, cross the ball to him. And it's like, well, yeah.
I mean, he's given him life. I mean, he was on the bench, barely getting any games, and now he's the main man. And to be fair, when you have that guy, that Andy Carroll 2.0, you just put it in. Just put it
That's
in.
That's a bit harsh.
Is it?
Fernando Llorente.
Just because he's Spanish
2.0.
And he talks, you know, better. No.
He talks all smooth.
He's Andy Carroll 2.0.
He probably,
I don't care about his curly
like
hair.
To be fair, he probably sounds like this.
Yeah, like this. Yeah.
See.
Okay. So Swansea, you know, to be fair, Swansea are doing a great job staying up because it looked at one point, I mean, trying to stay up, it looked at one point like they were done. Done for. Over. So you got to give them credit, and obviously, what's his name in midfield? Sigurdsson. He's killing it. He's a class above everyone around him. Fair play to him.
He's like Sanchez at Arsenal.
Sure,
a little bit.
Even worse. Like fair play for him for staying, and like kind of because he could easily play for an Everton. Easily.
Sure, that's what I was thinking. Actually, Everton.
Yeah.
Tom Carroll has also been really good, and I kind of thought that he would make no difference whatsoever, but he's been excellent.
We did make fun of that move, to be fair, when he didn't move. I mean. Last but not least, I think it's last, let me see. Yeah, Stoke beat Middlesbrough 2-0. Middlesbrough,
great.
I think, are going to go down, by the way.
Well, they don't score goals.
No, they don't score goals. And Arnautovic, he comes up with these games where he just looks really good.
I'm not buying it.
No?
It's like 1-6.
He's like Zlatan's best friend.
Mate, George Friend is in defense.
You really hate him,
I mean, I think he's just useless.
Anyways, my boy, Egyptian compatriot, Sopi, he's having like...
Ramadan, as they call it.
Or Ramadan, yeah. He's definitely not fasting from good performances. I tried. It was on the spot.
Great.
Anyways.
He is fast.
Rushay does not look impressed. He's motioning to move on.
Let's move on.
I think that pretty much, you're right. That sums it up. We can do Momo of the Week.
Aye.
Happy Momo. One thing we are no sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
We start Momo this week in a place that I love to start Momo, which is Russia, because there's always something really bloody stupid happening. And this week, Lebedev, who's a member of the Russian Parliament.
Great name.
If you remember from the summer when the Russian fans beat up a bunch of English fans, he tweeted, "Well done, lads, keep it up." he's now expanded into more organised violence, where he's suggested that a solution to the hooligan problem at the World Cup in Russia might be organised fights between different sets of fans, which I believe has a name. He's called it... I can't remember. Anyway, he said, Russia would be a pioneer in a new sport, said Lebedev, who also suggested fights between different fan groups could draw crowds of thousands. English fans arrive, for example, and start picking fights, and they get the answer, challenge accepted.
Wow.
A meeting in a stadium at a set time.
It sounds like a movie I would watch.
Yeah. What, Mahoney, you expressed joy at this.
It's not joy. It's more like if you're going to be a hooligan, like an English hooligan, let's say, and go to Russia, you know what? Might as well face their hooligans and see how you fare, because I'm pretty sure you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yeah, see some proper hooligans, right?
Yeah, because they go to like Spain and Portugal and, yeah, you know, flex their muscles.
Throwing chairs around and
go
shit.
Go somewhere proper.
But that's the thing. The English fans tend to beat up cafes.
Yeah, true.
What's up with that?
We got another one, guys?
Yeah, so in Africa, there's a lot of Africa this weekend in our quiz.
Yeah.
And now on Moomoo. So a Zambian under 20 player yesterday told a TV journalist that he had waited 27 years for this moment. Under 20s.
Yeah.
Waited 27 years for this moment. Was he trolling the journalist? We don't know because we don't have his passport or his birth certificate.
I honestly don't think so. I think he truly waited 27 years to play for the under 20s.
Yeah, I prefer to believe that this confirms all our suspicions.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty sure that Bernie is something like 45.
Oh, Bernie is 45.
Oh, he's got the maturity of like a 50-year-old.
Yeah, 55.
Abi Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
We move on to mainland Europe and start in Serie A, Italy, where there were a bunch of results this weekend, shockingly.
You've gone into reporter mode.
I mean, I'm just natural, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Tell us some of those results.
Shockingly, Inter Milan won. Away from home, 5-1 against Cagliari.
I mean, to be fair, what's his name is killing it. Up top,
Pioli.
Icardi.
No. Up top,
who?
The manager. Oh. The manager.
No,
or the striker.
No, the striker.
Oh, Icardi. Yeah, but he only got one in this game, and
sure,
it was a penalty. So,
but he's playing well. He's playing well. Sure. His record in the league is amazing. I mean, him and Belotti are two that like not a lot of people think of. You know, just because, but
yeah,
they're playing well, and he's definitely up there this season.
Yeah. And Udinese took 2 points off Juventus's title race.
This was the first draw in the league in over a year
for Juventus.
That's mental.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
they win 99% of their games and lose one or two in the season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how Juve / Bayern / Barca, well, back a bit, and they have not gone an unbeaten season. Like, it seemed like so doable for Bayern, Juve, and Barca back in the day that, I mean, is it really that hard to do? They lose, what, 2 games a season? You couldn't just, like, draw those two? Like, I don't know. It's,
yeah,
just, I always
I
think
mean,
about
the difference
it.
Is
nothing.
Marginal.
Yeah.
It's very like, marginal.
Yeah, it sucks, I guess. I don't know what to say about that.
It sucks,
it's
I guess.
Just
you guys
top
are gonna start,
analysis.
You guys are going to start reminiscing about the unbeaten season that Arsene Wenger
Well, but,
had.
But that's why I think about it. I think about it because I'm like, well, oh my God, that was a great achievement and everyone talks about it. But, like, people were so close and it's so doable,
yeah,
that, like, is it really as hard as...
Even Chelsea 04-05 had only one loss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There you
but,
go.
Yeah.
But thank God that didn't happen because Mourinho would have been unbearable.
But you know what's weird? Even the Barca dream team with Messi and all, treble winning sides.
You'd think
they lost that home 2-0 to Hercules.
I mean, it's
true?
Hercules.
That is true. That season they lost 2-0 at home in the Nou Camp to Hercules.
Hercules.
Yeah.
Anyway. Miércoles was on
Wednesday. And obviously because Juventus dropped points. But obviously back in Italy. Juventus dropped points and Roma also lost.
Of course. and not only lost, but lost to the direct rival for second place, Napoli.
Yeah.
Roma have been very good this season, have been very good up until the last couple of weeks, and they've started on a little bit of a slump. They've now lost to Lazio
in the league,
in the Coppa.
Hmm.
Really bad. I mean, they just didn't perform in
yep.
that game. And now lost at home to Napoli. Napoli doing what they do and catching Roma on the break.
Yeah, you know, I think Roma are a victim of their own success. I think that, you know, they crushed Inter Milan recently, 3-1.
Yep.
Nainggolan scored 2 rockets.
Oh,
yeah, he's having a great season.
Like, the US and Russia are trying to sell that technology to some, some stupid
Probably.
Shire country.
What?
Right.
Shire
country. Wow. Lord of the Rings. They're trying to selling it to Mordor.
Yeah, but so they drop points. Dries Mertens killed it.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, if you look at the table, right now, this was what they call a six-pointer. Roma and Napoli are sitting in second and third. Right now, after this game, it ended with Roma on 59 points, Napoli on 57. And that's because Napoli won the game. Now, think if had Roma won this game, it would have been 54 points to Napoli, 62 to Roma. So it went from being an 8-point gap to just a 2-point gap, and now Roma aren't comfortable anymore in that second spot. Yes, you do get, you know, the top three make it into Europe, but coming second as opposed to third is a big deal.
And not only that, but had Napoli been 3 points worse off, Lazio won this weekend,
yes.
and Simone Inzaghi is doing an incredible... We haven't really talked about Lazio that much this season, because they've kind of gone under the radar, but Simone Inzaghi is doing an incredible job with this team. Lazio are now only 4 points behind Napoli. So had Napoli not won this game, their Champions League spot would have been at stake.
But that's why we've enjoyed the Serie A this season. It's been really tight. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, yes, Juve are, you know, but they're not further away, let's say, than Chelsea are in the Premier League. No. So,
but they're here every season.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, it would just be nice to see Roma catch them, you know?
Oh, I agree completely, but, you know, yeah, sure. Just won't happen.
Milan won, but, you know, they're in seventh, so whatever.
So who cares?
Yep. Yeah, sure. You know. But yeah, it would be nice to see Roma and Napoli, well, Napoli again in the Champions League, but it would be nice to see Roma back in the Champions League. I have a soft spot for them.
They were class. They're looking like class, too.
Yeah. I think I might have said this before, but I think they're going to totally bottle it against Lyon in the
Europa League.
Yeah.
That would be a shame because they've been. But yes, you're right. Lately, they haven't. But you know, everything showed that they should have beaten Lazio in the cup. They should have maybe even gotten a draw out of this Napoli game.
That's and the thing. Yeah.
And then you know, Lyon, you would have thought like 3 weeks ago, you'd be like, yeah, definitely,
yeah,
not a problem. But Memphis killing it at Lyon. Not really, but is he even at Lyon?
Yeah, he
is.
He scored a goal or two.
I don't know. He's in Lacazette.
Oh man, his goals are like Sterling's assists. They're just coming off any part of his body, and he's counting them. Memphis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're so bad. All right. Anyways, let's move on to La Liga.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Atleti beat Valencia 3-0. Griezmann. It's just at this point, the world is his oyster. I mean, last game, this game.
Yeah, you know, he's in the last game they played, it was a 1-1 draw where Torres was injured. But Griezmann scored a shockingly casual goal.
Where he kind of lob-dished the keeper?
Yeah, from like 40 yards out.
It was spectacular.
Mm-hmm. It was so casual that I just sat back and I just kind of like took the headphones off.
Admired it.
And watched the video play on loop again.
Changed into sweatpants, just like...
yeah, the regular.
And again, he scored 2 goals in this game.
Yeah, I mean, he's spectacular. And recently, you know, we kind of thought midway through the season that the thing to United was pretty much done. But recently, he had this really interesting interview where he basically said, I'm not sure about England because like, the weather is shit and the food is terrible.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I can't go to Barcelona. I can't really go to Real Madrid. So, you know, I don't know what the deal is.
I don't know what he's talking about. England has fish and chips.
And tartar sauce. There are reports, though, that, well, recently today came out saying that United and Griezmann have agreed personal terms, but it's looking more unlikely that the transfer actually happens. I'm assuming it's between the clubs.
Champions League. Maybe. Surely top four has something to do with it.
Maybe. Yeah. But to be fair, back to Griezmann, sometimes he scores goals. Like, I always think of Griezmann as like this flashy player, really nice, cultured, left foot, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes that, like this game, these goals, were just a striker's goal. They're like a goal Lukaku would score. Just bang on the run, bottom right. Done. Easy, simple. Yeah. And like he does both. He can do the little flicks and he can do the just, here's my stats, boom, boom, boom. And I like that.
It's true. No, and it's especially impressive from a player with his stature. Yeah. Because usually a small player, you know, you think of the guys like Messi or Insigne, or they're quick, they're skillful, they'll score the carpet finishes into the corner and what have you. But Griezmann really does score any type of goal. And he's brilliant in the air, which is ridiculous.
Also, Gamero has been complimenting him really well. Yeah. The speed, just Gamero's so quick. Yes. They can just send him off on runs and he'll make it happen, which is very impressive.
No, Atleti like recycle strikers all the time. Yeah. They tried what's his name, Jackson Martinez.
Yeah.
They had to sell him within 6 months.
Yeah.
And they tried Torres, but it works only sometimes. But they finally found someone that they can actually
stick Torres with. Is back to consciousness now, which is good because he had a horrible injury last game.
So bad.
It was quite bad, actually. I mean, people had to move his tongue out the way and stuff. Anyways, he's okay now. Madrid beat Eibar 4-1.
I didn't like this game. I didn't like this result because I think Benzema, you know, 2 goals and an assist.
You just hate on him, eh?
No, I mean, I appreciate Benzema, but he didn't do anything for the last... He hasn't done anything for a while, and he just shows up and does two goals and an assist, and he's good.
It shows class, though. It shows class. I mean, Benzema's been at Madrid for like near a decade now.
And that is an achievement.
People do genuinely. Not last at Madrid.
Yeah, well, especially strikers.
Yeah.
Especially strikers.
So yes, he did score 2. James back again. I mean, they played with no Bale nor Ronaldo, obviously, because the Champions League, I think, is midweek for them. So it makes sense. I mean, I hope
and Bale's red card in the last game.
Oh, true. Yeah. The
monkey rage came out. And he just went all eight. Yeah. An uncultured swine might look at this and say, they're playing Eibar, whatever.
Yeah.
But Eibar are having having a surprisingly brilliant season for them.
They're still Eibar, 13, let's be real.
No, but they're sitting in eighth. Being that guy.
Yeah, they're in eighth. They're 2 points off Athletic Bilbao. I mean, they've got 39 points, so technically not safe from relegation in the Premier League.
Yeah.
But for them, it's astonishing.
They should get Moyes. Barcelona beat Celta Vigo 5-0, and this was just Messi's game. I mean, I'm sorry. You guys know I'm going to talk about it. Everyone knows I'm going to talk about it. Let's just get it out the way.
Yeah, let's just, I mean, we already mentioned it. Let's talk about Neymar's chip.
No.
Roche, let's you and I go get a drink and just let
Mohamed. I'm not done with the Messi talk. I mean, have you seen his first game? That was a 2012 kind of goal. He got it in midfield. He turned in the center circle, broken the guy's ankles, broken the next guy's ankles, and then that beautiful finish, which is what he does. And it was fantastic. And then the next one, the assist to Neymar. Forget about the chip. The little, to Neymar is killer. And then the last one, when he ran down the whole field, cut in, and then put it across the keeper. Ah, oh, come on, mate. Class. Messi class. I'm done.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so, anyway.
We can come back in the room now?
You want to keep talking about Barca? Ah, Rakitic scored, so have that.
Yeah, I think Rakitic is wank.
Wow, that's so harsh. And Umtiti scored as well.
Umtiti's fantastic. Umtiti is one of the best signings of all, like, of not of all time, like, of this season. as in, across all leagues. Like, he has been unbelievable. He's been the perfect mold for, like, a PK partner, because he's physical, he's strong, he's still learning his game. He got a goal already, which, you know, something Mascherano hasn't done in, like, 180 appearances. He's a really good player, and he's going to get better.
What are you talking about? He's exactly what a defender should be and is supposed to
be. Yeah, but Barcelona just don't do that.
What are you signing off Mascherano for?
I don't know. He ripped his ass in the World Cup.
Well, that's true.
This Messi praise has spilled over into Umtiti, of all players.
I think he's fantastic. Let's
talk about how Neymar was nowhere until Luis Enrique said he was leaving, and then he just decided to show up.
Sure. But to be fair, Neymar, in Barca's dip, you got, you know, Messi aside, Neymar has been their best player. He's just unlucky. He's always so secluded on that. Like, they send him the ball and he has to get past three players on the line. He's also a very young player. Like, we keep forgetting. He has, his stats for Barcelona are incredible for whatever, 23-year-old, 20, yeah, whatever it is.
He's the same age as Oxlade-Chamberlain.
He's Peter Pan. Yeah. So.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. Right. I mean, people talk about him and Hazard. I'm sorry. He's miles ahead. Miles ahead. He's got, what, 3 years on him or something? Like, I don't know how much.
Oh, also, I just want to highlight one moment of individual brilliance in this game, and that was from Sergio Busquets. He did a little... He just lost his man completely.
Yes.
When you're running at a player, and the player disappears...
It's like, where is he?
Well, yeah. Busquets, when he turns sideways, you know, and I can speak to this from experience, but you can just lose him.
You can lose him. Like, he's so thin sideways. Yeah. But you're right, Roche. I'm so glad you brought up Busquets, because he was actually one of the men of the match.
I almost fell off my chair when he did that.
Yeah?
That's how good it was.
We felt it across town.
It was a slight tremor.
I don't know why we have Betis Real Sociedad on here, but we could talk about it.
I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Real Sociedad, right? Yeah. 48 points, 1 point behind Atletico Madrid. David Moyes...
Laid the foundation for their success.
David Moyes...
Yes.
...wanted to sign Danny Ings and try and save them from relegation.
And now they're fifth.
And this is the same squad.
Mm.
That's fantastic work.
That's when Sociedad woke up and said, we can't have this nightmare anymore.
Yes. Hopefully Sunderland will do the same.
Sunderland 2 seasons from now are going to win the league, mate.
Did Real Sociedad go on like a break in New York or something?
Probably not. Probably literally can't afford it.
Yeah, true. Alright, let's move back to this side of the pond.
Alright, let's do it. Alright, Mohamed, this should be your favourite segment because you're currently wearing a hat with a maple leaf on it.
Yes, are we talking about hockey?
No,
never.
Hate that. Toronto FC started the MLS season this week.
Okay.
Sure. With a 0-0 draw away to Real Salt Lake.
Exciting.
Yes.
So, like, if you guys thought that time was flying by, you should have watched this game because it would have slowed it right down.
Fair. It was not the dramatic opening to a season that one would have wished for. But, you know, with my professional voice on, a point away from home opening day of the season, you'll take it all day.
You'll take it, because especially in MLS, away points don't count.
No.
Like, literally, they just give away, like, away points, you go, you're like, it's a nice trip, you come back, and you get all your points at home, and that's how you go off.
It's like Nigeria.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Giovinco missed a penalty, didn't he?
Yes.
That's a shame. But, I mean...
Honestly, I'm going to predict a horrible, torrid season for TFC this year.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Something tells me they're going to be bad.
Are you going to ask him why? You think he has a reason?
No, I think they lost the preseason game to Chicago Fire, if I'm not mistaken, 4-1.
You're basing this on a friendly...
It was a match right before this one.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So they're gonna. What's the horrendous season? Like, they're not going to make the playoffs? No.
Yeah, they're not going to make the playoffs.
No! Whoa. There's no way. There's no chance.
Right? I want them to make a play.
You got the Leafs MVP.
Roche is Breitbarting this. He's just going for shock value.
Yeah, he is. Clickbait. We're going to name this podcast TFC to get relegated. How? Doesn't matter.
I don't know, guys. Just wait for it. I also said Bayern would win by a minimum of 4 goals.
I mean, that was an easier prediction.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
I think Toronto FC will have a very good season. I think they'll make it to the playoffs easily.
Right.
What happens after that, whatever. It's anyone's guess. But I like the addition of Victor Vázquez.
Yeah. You think he's gonna, you know, you think he's gonna be an important part of the squad?
It's hard to tell because they got so far without a player like that.
Right.
Anyway, right. So hopefully it's just the kind of addition. He's creative, he can pass the ball.
I mean, it affects Bradley a lot.
I think it takes some creative responsibility away from him, which is good.
Right.
The less he needs to focus on, the
also
better.
The less he needs to go up and down,
yes,
the better. So, like, less creativity from him means he can sit deeper and kind of be ready, so he's ran past less.
Yes, the less his form could go up and down would be great too.
You wanted to, and his weight. You wanted to tell us about new addition to the league.
Mm.
Who are those?
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, and Minnesota, but they're not as exciting.
Sure.
Atlanta. I couldn't tell you what their players are called.
Sure.
But they have some good ones.
Okay.
That much I know because I've read about it. And they've got Tata Martino as manager.
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing.
And their home jersey is a Spanish jersey.
It's like, fire red.
Yeah.
You think Messi can retire there?
Yeah, why not?
Atlanta?
Just because Tata Martino's there.
Yeah, he does love him.
Although, come to TFC. We're red too.
Barca need a new coach.
Yeah.
Rumors are that Messi will be heavily involved in deciding who it is. So it might just be that would derail Atlanta's
season.
Can
you imagine Messi and Giovinco, the smallest strike partnership the world has ever seen?
The world has ever seen.
And Defoe?
Well,
sure.
I mean, Defoe's doing great.
And Insigne.
Okay, well,
enough.
Because Zorla can play up top, like what else?
Yeah. The bloke from Game of Thrones, the dwarf, you know, just like you might as well throw anyone in.
Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Oh, sorry, I meant Rooney.
I mean, Arsene Wenger would still play kind of target man with him up top. It's all good.
Moving on.
I think we've reached.
We've reached a low.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think once we're talking about dwarves and Arsene Wenger, it's time to
move on.
Hit the button.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Yes.
No.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh, and for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.